north. And Sati Luthra, Central South, last night in the meeting, I asked the folk to pray for us for the crusade in Hatchet Bay. And one of the items I asked that they would remember is the fact of the election. Not so much to pray for the election, but to pray that the election don't fall in the middle of the crusade. Because you know what that'll be. And so I want to ask you to do the same thing. To remember us in the meetings in Hatchet Bay and pray, if you must pray, or pray for the election, pray that it comes either before the crusade or afterwards, not in the middle. And this is a dry spell right now, and I got a feeling that we might have rain in June. That's another request. Now, I know we need the rain. Some of you, your tanks are already out. I heard some today, the tanks are out. And I'm going to pray that you get rain, but before the crusade or afterwards. All right? So you pray with us, because you know how it is with rain and crusading. And we're going to be using a tent, and it's bad in a building. It's worse having rain while having a crusade in the tent. We'll appreciate that very much. We have a few more of the memorial tapes of Brother Sims. If you have not bought your Christmas gifts as yet, these will make good Christmas gifts. I know there's some weddings coming up. It'd be nice, you know, to buy one of these for wedding gifts. They might want a little more than this, but at least they'll have some tapes to enjoy during that time. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15 as we continue our meditation in the general theme, the journey of life. And as we have mentioned to you, our emphasis, of course, is the journey of life of those who know Christ as Savior, which begins the moment of commitment to Christ and continues on to the day of crowning, when we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the crowns of rewards, as Paul mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so, as we share tonight, our emphasis is, as I mentioned, the song of the soul set free. And so we read concerning this in chapter 15. Chapter 15 of the book of Exodus. And verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and a song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together, the floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. My, what a passage of scripture! Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people whom thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over, whom thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign for ever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. My, what a portion of scripture. I thrill when I read that. Chills go up and down my spine as I read a passage like that. The song of the soul set free. It's very interesting to note that this is the first time singing is mentioned in the Bible, and it is the song of Moses. It is also interesting to note that the last song that we have recorded to be sung in the Bible is found in Revelation chapter 15, and the author is Moses. The author is Moses. The first song and the last song. If you read the context of the both portions of scripture, you will note that in the first one, it has to do with God's deliverance of his people. And when you come to Revelation chapter 15, easy to remember. Exodus chapter 15, Revelation chapter 15, Moses writes the one in chapter 15 of Exodus, and Moses writes the one in the book of Revelation chapter 15. And when you read the context, in Revelation chapter 15, you will also note that it is a song to be sung as a result of God's deliverance of his people. Angels descend with the seven last plagues. It is in that context that we have the singing of the souls set free. Christianity is a religion of song. When Brother Cecil Sims died, I had the privilege of taking a part in his funeral. But I remember very distinctly, during the interment of the body in Woodlawn Gardens, there was the song, they sang the song, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. About 100 feet or a little more just across the way, closer to the boundary of the graveyard, was another funeral. And it was a strange type of song being sung. You see, it was the funeral of a Jehovah's Witness who had died. And I don't know what they were singing, but whatever it was terrible. Simply terrible. When over where we were singing such a wonderful song. Because, you see, Christianity is a religion of song, and if there is no Christ, there is no song. And they reject the Christ, therefore they have no song. But beloved, what would a worship service be without a song? What would the Christian experience be without spiritual music? And I believe spiritual music is ordained in glory. Therefore, it brings such a source of blessing and encouragement to the people of God. We could go on to say a lot about music, about songs. We have had the experience of seeing people saved, or people saved, and as they were counseled, they would say to you that the thing that spoke to me was the song. I remember in particular, a lady who was a Muslim. Her husband had been a brethren, had been saved, but he had backslid, and he had married this woman who had never been in a Christian church. A Christian congregation. She was a Muslim. And we were having a crusade in Long Island, a tent crusade. I like tent crusades. There's something about that. And I remember very distinctly, there was a song that was sung so almost every night. You know, it's amazing how the Spirit works. You don't want to sing the same song or one song too much in a crusade. You want to have variety. I like variety. But this song somehow just keep coming up almost every night. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. This lady came to the tent meeting one night, her first time ever in a Christian congregation, a Christian service. And for a whole week she kept coming. And I remember the night so distinctly when Brother Ed Allen gave the invitation and her hand slipped out. And she kept it up. And then he said, you may take it down now, because you know we give the invitation. If you're interested, slip your hand up and take it right back down. She kept it up for a while. And because of her religious background, there were those of us who were a little hesitant to go and share with her. Now, I am one who do not believe that you should keep a person waiting for 1 minute who want to be saved, who indicate that they want to be saved. I believe you should make a beeline towards them as quickly as possible. So I wasn't about to hesitate. And so we went over and sat down with them. Now, of course, you kind of anticipate. You kind of anticipate certain questions because of people's background. I said to her, or I asked her, why did you raise your hand? She says, I want to become a Christian. And I want to become a Christian now. No questions about Christianity. No questions about the cross. She's heard enough. She wants to be saved. We open the scriptures, and you know how we say sometimes she was like a fruit, just ready to be picked. You touch it, and it drops right into your hand. And that's the way she was. And we led it to the Lord. And she said, you know, Brother Tom, the thing that spoke to me night after night, as I went home, even when I lay upon my bed, the thing that spoke to me, I couldn't get it out of my mind. Sometimes 2 and 3 o'clock I would wake up and I could hear that song being sung. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. I said hallelujah for the Christian soul. The song of the soul set free. As you read this chapter, Exodus chapter 15, you note that the song of the soul set free is first of all a song of forgiveness. There is no song if there is no forgiveness. There is no joy in the heart if there is no forgiveness. I remember a young lady in the Faroe Islands coming to me one evening after the service in her broken English. Ah, she says, I feel so happy. I feel so happy. And I said, hallelujah. You know, brethren, don't say that word too very much. But I said, hallelujah. Because listen, when the soul is redeemed, when there is forgiveness of sins, there is song. There is music in the soul. And so the song of the soul set free is the song of forgiveness. In Psalm number 32, in Psalm number 32 in the first 2 verses, it says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 113 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me tell you, friends, the song of the soul set free is the song of forgiveness. Also, it's the song of deliverance. The song of deliverance. We had mentioned in Psalm 32, in Psalm 32 verse 11, we know very distinctly these words. Let me read them. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And so the song of the soul set free is a song of deliverance.
Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. The song of the soul set free is the song of forgiveness, but it's also a song of deliverance. The song of the soul set free, forgiveness from sin, deliverance from death. These people were singing because they could look back and they could remember the deliverance from death of the firstborn. And so they're singing now. They're singing the song of the redeemed because of deliverance from death. When you come to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it speaks of deliverance from death, from eternal death. Blessed and happy are those that have part in the first resurrection, upon the second death has no power. My friends, let me tell you, there is song when you know there is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. And so the song of the soul set free is a song of deliverance from death, from slavery. What did the enemy say? Chapter 13. The enemy said that Sarah was approaching. Chapter 14 rather. And verse 5, it says, as the enemy was approaching the very last part, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Now, Tuesday, we talked about that to some degree, the enemy's interest. But the enemy's desire, my friends, is to enslave us. They were in slavery. But they are now delivered. They look back and they see Pharaoh and his horsemen being destroyed by God. And beloved, they commence to sing because of deliverance from death, from slavery, and from the enemy. Slavery delivering them out of the pit of sin and from slavery to sin and from the enemy. This is what chapter 15 is dealing with. Look at Psalm 126. Here in Psalm 126, we see Israel returning from the Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar had been overthrown by Darius, who formed a coalition government with the Medes and the Persians, through Cyrus, the people of God, the Israelites, got a mandate to return from captivity and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem eventually, and also to build the temple. And in Psalm 126, and verse 2 it says, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the nations, the Lord hath done great things for them. Could you not see them as they were marching from the land of captivity, going back to their own country? Remember, they were going to a country that had lost its monarchy, its king. They were going back to a country that had the temple destroyed. They were going back to a country that had the walls of protection destroyed. They were going to a country of rubble. Completely destruction. But as they were going back, one thing they had that was not destroyed, and that was the Word of God, filled with the promises of God. And let me tell you, friends, everything else might fall to bits, to pieces around you, but if you have the Word of God, you have a song. As they were going back to face that dismal situation, they sang. Their mouths were filled with singing. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm sure you do. You've had similar experiences, but the song of the soul set free is not only the song of forgiveness, deliverance, but it's also a song of satisfaction. Now look at verse 2 of our chapter. Verse 2 of our chapter says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." Do you want anything more than that? Do you want anything better than that? Strength, song, salvation. God's divine 3S tonic. Huh? You go to the drugstore and you see the 3S tonic and you buy it. It's a blood builder. Let me tell you, this is God's 3S tonic. The strength of God. The song of God. And the salvation of God. Beloved, you could face any aspect of life with such a tonic. With the strength you get from such a tonic. Yes. A song of satisfaction. Now we have the same mentioned in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. The same mentioned there. You can write it down if you're taking notes and read it at your leisure. But it's a song of satisfaction. When you come to the New Testament and to Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the Ephesians concerning the filling of the Spirit of God. Now you remember when Jesus spoke in John chapter 7, he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Now when you think of springs in the scriptures, typology, the spirit. And of course, when you think of drinking water, you think of satisfying the greatest physical longing that a person could have. First, it is more intense than hunger. It's more intense than any other physical sense of the body. Thirstiness. And let me tell you, the psalmist says, Brother Don was reading it quite a bit when we visited on Saturday. David's talking about his heart panting after God as the heart panteth after the water brook in a dry and thirsty land. The sun is shining in all of its intensity. The desert is arid, and there is the heart, the dear family, longing for a drink, and he's panting for the water brook. When he finds the water brook, he becomes satisfied. Now when we come then to the antitype in the scriptures, as I mentioned, John chapter 7, when we come to John chapter 4, Jesus says to the woman who comes to the well for water, he says, "If you knew who this was, you would ask of him, and he would give you living water. Water that will be springing up in you." Oh, she says, that's what I need, that I come not here to draw any more. You see, emphasis, satisfaction. So when Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians, he is speaking of spiritual satisfaction in the atmosphere of the Spirit-filled life. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When the soul is satisfied with God, songs are a natural result of a soul being satisfied with God. In Colossians chapter 3, let the word of God dwell in you richly. And it goes on to speak about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, my friend, it comes through the fullness of the Holy Spirit as He operates in us through the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And let me say again, you will not be happy as a Christian if you do not grow in the Christian life. You would be one of the most miserable Christians this side of heaven, cantankerous and always finding fault with everything. But let me tell you, if you know something of the feeling of the Word of God and the indwelling fullness of the Spirit of God, you're going to be a singing Christian. You might be like some of us. Got problems to carry a tune in a basket, but remember, you'll be a singing Christian. The song of the soul set free is a song of deliverance, is a song of satisfaction. James says, is there any sick among you? Let him pray. You know, I'm getting old in quoting some of these verses. But a part of that is that if something else is wrong, let him sing psalms. Let him sing psalms. And so, in those difficult experiences of life, there is the song of the soul set free. And also, it is a song of faith. Verses 14 to 16 of our text deals with the fact that as far as Israel was concerned, the fact of their getting into the land, being established in the land, was from God's perspective an accomplished fact. Therefore, they had no need to worry. Just follow God, and they will end up in the land. I believe one of the most outstanding portions of Scripture in this regard is found in Romans chapter 8. Paul thinks of God's salvation from eternity past to eternity future, whom he foreknew eternity past, them he also glorified eternity future. And as far as Paul was concerned by the Spirit, our going to glory is an accomplished fact from God's perspective. The only thing that is left is for personal human experience. But as far as God is concerned, listen, friend. Heaven is our home. Crowning is before us. When we are called to be with our blessed Savior. And so here in verses 14 to 16, it says, the people shall hear. Sorrow shall take hold upon the inhabitants of Philistia. And it goes on to talk about getting into the land. And also it's a song. It's a song of hope. Verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people whom thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength. unto thy holy habitation. Verse 17, thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O God, which thy hands have established. The picture again. The picture is the eternal hope of the child of God. It's a song of hope. My time is just about gone. According to my watch, it ain't gone yet. According to your clock on the walls, it's gone by 30 seconds. But let me conclude with the fact that this song, we're going to have to continue on Tuesday. You won't want to miss. We're going to get into the song itself, dealing with it from a hymnology point of view. But these songs, the song of the soul set free, are songs given even in the night season. Even in the night season, the psalmist speaks of the songs in the night. Job says to his comforters, but you have not mentioned the song in the night. Chapter 35 and verse 19. You see, it's a song, the song in the night season, in the night season of suffering. Acts chapter 16, when Paul and those were imprisoned, Paul and Silas, they had a song. It was a time of suffering. Have you ever wondered who raised the song when Jesus had completed institution of the Lord's Supper? And giving the upper room discourse, when it said, and they sung a hymn, and they went out. Do you ever wonder who started the song? I believe the Lord Jesus did. I believe he raised that song, and it was raised in the peak of his most darkest hour. When Calvary was before him. But my friends, in spite of it, there was a song. There was a song. A song of suffering. A song of sorrow. In 1989, I went to Green Turtle Key for the month of November. When I got in Green Turtle Key, I had a strange feeling. I had a strange burden that I was not able to articulate. So burdened down I was, and I couldn't say, well, it was for souls. I couldn't say what it was all about, but I just had this awful weight upon my soul. I asked Brother Junior Roberts if he would come and pray with me. I felt the need for prayer. And for 2 weeks, Brother Junior Roberts and I, 6 o'clock in the morning, he worked for the fish house, went to work at 7, but he'll come 6 o'clock and we will kneel to pray. I didn't know what we were praying for, so we prayed generally. And, but the burden was, but for 2 weeks we prayed. On November the 19th, my wife came to Green Turtle Key. That was Sunday morning. When she was getting in the car, she just couldn't get in the car. She turned back because my son Hensley was asleep in the bed. She went back. She opened the door. She went into his room. She woke him up and said, Hensley, Mommy is going to Green Turtle Key for a couple of days with Daddy. You must stay around the house. You must be a man in the house, look after the girls. You know how it is in Nassau, so you must not stay out late. And so she got in the car, and she went on to the airport, and then on to Green Turtle Key. Of course, I was... are happy to see her, and we had a lovely time, of course. And then Monday afternoon, about 4:30, quarter to five, the door opened. I was sitting in one of them layoff chairs, and they have something on me. I got trouble to get out of it. So I was sitting in one of the layoff chairs, nodding, when the door opened, and of course I awakened. Lisa was in the setting. It was my oldest daughter and her husband, Vashti and Craig. We were surprised to see them, but they've done that before. And they came. And so they sat down, and I could see that something was not just right. So we asked how things were in Nassau. And then she said, "Daddy, did you hear the news?" And I'm a person who never misses the news if I'm close to a radio. I want to hear the local news. I want, when I get a newspaper, the first place I turn to is the obituary column. I want to see who died. And, but for some reason, I did not hear the news. And so she said, "I don't know if you heard about that boat, the accident that happened, and a boat turned over and four young men were on the boat. Three got to the shore and one is still missing." Then they said, "The one that's missing is Hensley." And for a moment, I didn't know what to say, but somehow I knew when they had said that terminated my son's earthly life. A brother asked me later on, he said, "Tell me, what did you think about? Did you think that he might have been somewhere, because he had left home on occasions and we didn't know where he was until somebody called us from Miami and said, 'I saw Hensley in Miami.' I particularly on one occasion hid his passport." Now don't tell me how he got to Miami without his passport, but I particularly hid the passport. And when the telephone came, I rushed downstairs and I went to the place where the passport was supposed to be, and there it was. How he got there, I don't know. He said, "What did you think about? Did you think he had gone off like he had done before?" I said, "You know, for some strange reason, no. I felt in my soul that was the end of his earthly life." Beloved, that was the darkest night to date in Tom Roberts' family life. It was a dark night, but you know something? I look back. That was the inarticulated burden that I didn't know what was happening. And it was those 2 weeks of prayer that God had Junior to share with me there in Green Turtle Key, preparing me for this eventuality that I had not even in my wildest dreams. But I'll tell you one thing. In that most darkest hour, I had a song. Singing through the tears as they streamed down our faces. But we had a song. The song of the soul set free. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for the song of the soul set free. A song that is irrevocable. No matter how dark the night, no matter how long the way, the song of the soul set free comes forth. And we bless thee for your song. We thank you for the song of Moses, And as we have been able to just touch it tonight, to think of their singing there on the other side of the Red Sea because of the mighty deliverance of God. Father, we are on this side of the Red Sea, between us and the world. There is a gulf fixed. For Israel, it was the Red Sea, Father. But for the church, for the Christian, it's the cross. And on the other side of the cross, we could sing. We could sing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May the word encourage us tonight, as we give thee thanks. In Jesus' name.